This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
If you are old enough, most of us here I think are, to go back to when the first Gulf War started, if you remember those days, and if you remember all the fear of gas attacks and everything else that was going on. At the time, I happened to be employed by Motorola and was working with our joint venture in Israel. And I was on the phone on a daily basis with the folks who are over in Israel. And it was not uncommon to be on a conference call and suddenly they would say, "We have to hang up because the sirens are going off and we have to put our gas masks on and go into the safe room." And they would just do it matter-of-factly. But at the same time, since they knew my background, when they were on the phone with me at times, would get great joy out of relating to me what they were going through in their local synagogues in Tel Aviv with the different rabbis. And at this particular time, they really chuckled when they explained to me that the rabbis in Tel Aviv were arguing over the issue of turning radios on the Sabbath. Now, most of the emergency warnings that they would be sending to the people were on the radio. But for an Orthodox Jew, they weren't supposed to turn the radio on the Sabbath. So believe it or not, I get this call. He said, "You won't believe me. This one rabbi's telling us that if you do it with your elbow and turn your radio on with your elbow, that's okay." There was another rabbi that said, "Well, it's okay for you to walk on the Sabbath, so if you can turn your radio on with your foot, then it's okay." Seems absurd, does it not? And believe it or not, they came up with a compromise that the rabbis got together and said, "It's okay for the reason of safety to have your radio on the Sabbath as long as it's on softly." Seems absurd, does it not? Just about as absurd as what's going on in the gospel today. Can you imagine this woman suffering with this debilitating, isolating disease for 18 whole years, and they've got a bone to pick with Jesus because he's healed her from that horrible disease on the Sabbath? Absurd. One of the scripture scholars on this, who I was reading, Mace the Silly Comment, he said, "Well, maybe the reason that the existing religious leaders didn't want Jesus to heal on the Sabbath, because then it meant that they were going to have to be open for business on the Sabbath, and they didn't want to work on the Sabbath." As absurd as those two examples seem to be, I think at times, perhaps we can get things just as topsy-turvy. We can sometimes forget what really matters and the ultimate message that Jesus has for each one of us. You might be familiar with the book called The Ugly American. It tells the story of Homer Atkins. It's called The Ugly American not for the reason and the connotation that that has come down to us as, but because he actually wasn't a very attractive guy. He's sent over to Vietnam to build bridges and such for the military. But he happens to take his wife Emma with him. And the story I relate has to do with Emma's reflections. And Emma tells the story of noticing all those little Asian women were all bent over. They all had bent backs as if they had some sort of disease. And over time, she notices that after the monsoon rains, when they have to do all of their sweeping, they have these little tiny brooms that force them, even with their smaller size, they have to bend over to do all the work. And over time, it has an impact on their spinal curvature. Well, she gets the great idea that if she was to grow some reeds and to grow some sticks, that she could manufacture a broom that you wouldn't have to bend over to use. And so she does. The reason that the women weren't doing that, it was too expensive for them in that poverty-stricken area to pay for the larger pieces of wood. So she does it, and the local people see her doing that. And consequently, She shows them where they can find these bigger reeds, these bigger little sticks, and make their own brooms that they won't have to bend over to sweep out the house and everything else. Well, fast forward 4 years, Emma and Homer come back to Pittsburgh, and this letter arrives in the mail. This is what the letter says. It is from the head man of the village where they were, and it says, "We thank you. In the village of Changdong today, the backs of our old people are straight and firm. No longer are their bodies painful and bent. You will be pleased to know that on the outskirts of the village, we have constructed a small shrine in your memory. At the foot of the shrine are these words: In memory of the woman who unbent the backs of our people." When I think about that, that same inscription, "Here is the person who unbent our backs," would be equally appropriate to put at the foot of their cross. This is not only what Jesus does in the gospel today, literally, it is metaphorically what he does for each one of us and wants to do to those areas of our life where we need to be unbent. Can you imagine living 18 years looking down at the ground? You have no eye contact with individuals. You want to see to your left, you must turn your body. You must turn to the right with your body to see to the right. It is a very isolating disease. Metaphorically, she would not have had vision. She could not have seen beyond a few feet. And thereby, metaphorically, there's little hope. There's little dreaming for life that could go on. And yet Jesus, as he does so often, brings that hope and brings that vision back to her. I don't know if you notice in the Gospels, but it's almost constantly when Jesus is healing someone, he makes it a point to touch them. Now, in this particular case, which is even more amazing, that woman didn't even come to Jesus for healing. The Gospel tells us, and he saw her. And in the seeing, there must have been something within him, in his deepest compassion, in the depths of his heart, that made him reach out to her. And then he goes and says, first of all, "You are healed of your ailment," but then he touches her to make it a point that she who would have been considered unclean, unfit for society engagement, that she is worthy, that she is okay. It is just like he does with the lepers, with the outcasts, with the downtrodden. Jesus is always reaching out to touch, to say, "This person is acceptable in my eyes. This person is okay." It is the same that he desires to do with each one of us continually, to tell us, "You are worthy. You are lovable." That whatever status you find yourself, and in the depths of despair you might find yourselves in your life, there is always, always hope. There is never a time when there is not hope, because I am there with you. And this is what he does. You know, from the first time in Luke's gospel, when Jesus opens his mouth to preach, remember what he does? He quotes Isaiah 61. "I have come to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to prisoners, to turn tears and all of that mourning into a garland, a garment of joy." He's just being true to what he said he was going to do. And it's just not in AD 30 to 33, it is in the year 2010 and beyond. It is his desire, it is his mission, his vision, that we will share his vision, that there's always hope, no matter what. If you go home tonight and you look at Jeremiah, which was the first reading assigned for today, We all know Jeremiah, not the bullfrog, Jeremiah the prophet. The prophet, one of the greatest prophets of all time. Read what goes on in that reading today. Jeremiah doesn't think he's good enough. I'm just a young kid, he says to God. And what does God do? God touches his lips. God has a vision for Jeremiah that not even Jeremiah believed. God had a vision for him that he had it within him with the grace of God. He was going to make the hugest difference for the entire world. And here we are in the year 2010, and he is considered one of the greatest prophets of all time. It is that way for us. There is always hope. If you've done the Max Lucado series with us when we've done those different Bible studies, you might remember the one story that Max tells where he talks about growing up in Texas and playing football with the guys. And wherever they were in Texas, when you get tackled, you would get all those sticky burrs all over your body. And you'd have to get people to pull them out, and it was painful when you pulled them out off of your skin. And he says, Max does, how the other boys would let each other do that for each other. But for him, there was only one person who could remove those burrs without him feeling pain, and that was his dad. And so he talks about the fact that whenever it happened to him and he got tackled, he ran straight for his home, and he gets home, and there was Dad, and Dad would remove the pain quickly and painlessly. And Max says, sometimes it is only our Father who can take care of the pain. Sometimes it is only our Father that can take care of our pain. No matter where we are in life, God has a vision for us. God wants to take despair and move it to hope. This is the Jesus who comes to us. This is the Jesus who wants to unbend our backs. Whatever keeps us from having vision for tomorrow, this is the God who wants to restore it to us. May that be the God that we look to for our hope. Let's take that to our prayer.